And right now, I want to go to a guy who is a resource to the world on common sense in addressing this climate change and all the rest of it that's been burped up over the decades. And his name is Mark Morano, and he's a terrific guy, and he's written a brand new book, The Politically Incorrect Guide to Climate Change. And Mr. Producer, please go ahead and put the link to Amazon up on our social sites. Mark, how are you?
I'm doing well, Mark. Thanks for having me on tonight.
Well, it's a pleasure. Let's jump right in.
Yes.
The Politically Incorrect Guide to Climate Change. Now, when I think of climate change, I don't think of polar bears, but I do think of somebody like Al Gore. Now, Al Gore is, well, he's in your book a lot. Why is that?
Well, Al Gore, if you will, the UN is the source of the juiced bad science. Al Gore is the face of the movement. And it's just hard to avoid Al Gore if you're talking
Scary.
About global warming.
And Al Gore has become enormously wealthy off of global warming, hasn't he?
Yes. I detail in the book how he started with a $1 to $2 million net worth after he left the vice presidency. So by 2008 or so, 2009, he's worth $100 million. And he's done it chiefly through setting up companies he's either on the board of directors or the founder that then ended up soaking up Obama's green energy stimuluses. And he ended up selling his network to Al Jazeera, which increased his wealth a few years later, his old TV network that literally no one watched. Nielsen ratings rated it the lowest network that they'd ever even seen at the time. And he made hundreds of millions of dollars off that sale. So he became the most lavishly funded fossil fuel player in the climate debate. And I even have Warren Buffett's top lieutenant, Charlie Munger, in this book just saying Al Gore was an idiot who smoked dope at Harvard, yet he made hundreds of millions of dollars. And he did it because he essentially was smart with the politics. But overall, Al Gore knows nothing about the science, and he's a central figure in this debate. Obviously.
It's incredible. What is the ideology behind this debate?
Well, it's very simple. You know, and you actually detailed this in your book, Plunder and Deceit. It's a degrowth against capitalism. And there's a lady named Naomi Klein, who's actually sadly an advisor to Pope Francis, who says that capitalism is incompatible with a livable climate. And in the book, I go back in the roots of this is the 1960s with the modern left movement. They latched themselves on to the environmental movement. And it started with overpopulation with John Ehrlich, and it went through the global cooling, and it went through resource scarcity, all these predictions that we're going to die. And in this book, I go back and I show that there's a different environmental scare, say global, you know, the overpopulation scare, but they had the same exact solutions back then. It was always wealth redistribution, global governance, central planning, less freedom, less choice for anyone in the world. And it had to be done by central planning bureaucrats who were going to redo the world to make it save the earth. No matter the environmental scare, whether it was the Amazon rainforest scare that we used to have, the big rainforest concerts, you don't hear about that anymore because global warming has literally taken over from that. But it was always the same solution. Government mandates, international bodies, and the UN is just riding this wave. They openly admit environmental policy has nothing to do with climate. It is about redistribution of wealth. That's their number one goal.
So it's an attack on capitalism. It's an attack on individualism. So it's an attack on the American system, isn't it?
It absolutely is. In fact, in the book, and I actually interviewed just recently, the German climate advisor, a man named Hans Schulenhuber, and he says we need a CO2 budget, carbon dioxide budget, which we exhale from our mouth, by the way. We inhale oxygen as humans, for every man, woman, and child on the planet. And guess what? The U.S. has already exceeded our CO2 budget, which means we have to pay because we're over the limit. And there's also proposals for carbon ration cards that employers would monitor your energy use, your mileage, your train travel, your plane travel, your home energy use. If you exceed an amount, you pay. If you're under, you get some kind of credit. It's the ultimate in central planning. And they're affecting everything from light bulbs to our appliances, even Consumer Reports acknowledges dishwashers and washing machines of 15 years ago, low-end ones, outperform high-end ones today because our Energy Star, so-called Energy Star from the Energy Department from global warming, has zapping all the power and strength from our appliances. So every aspect of our lives, our agriculture, our transportation, our homes, our, you know, they're going after vehicles now with these EPA mandates, and the Trump administration has not addressed this yet. they've statutorily killed the American SUV because of global warming regulations. The mileage standards are going to get increasingly steep. And this isn't necessarily a partisan issue because many Republicans are guilty of this whole issue. And by the way, Mitt Romney was begging the United States to stay in the UN Paris Agreement. Mm-hmm. So Republicans have been very wrong.
And why is that? Is it because they're ignorant of the real ideological movement behind this, or is it because they think that it would help get them elected? What is it that they're willing to surrender to these things?
Well, I worked in the United States Senate Environment and Public Works Committee. I worked for Senator Inhofe. Very conservative members of the Senate and their staff were terrified of standing up to global warming because they did not want to be seen as against the environment, as against the earth. So if you go back to Richard Nixon, and this is a broad statement, but I think it's pretty accurate. The most liberal member of every administration, every Republican administration, has typically been the EPA administrator. Why is that? You go to George W. Bush, you go to George H.W. Bush, you go to Nixon, you go to Ford. And the reason is they don't want to deal with the environment. They think it's a minor issue, and they toss a bone, if you will, to the other side. And this is what they do. They don't realize, as I interviewed Václav Klaus, the former Czech president, he says the greatest threat to liberty we face today since the fall of the Soviet Union and the Eastern Bloc is very simply what he calls ambitious environmentalism through the climate policy agenda. And he goes through and he talks about the similarities between how they indoctrinate children under the old system and how they're doing it today with the climate propaganda. Republicans don't seem to have awareness of that. They think, oh, it's the environment. We can't be against it. Let's toss a bone. We'll compromise on this issue. And that's how it's typically been.
And so they can wrap this radical ideology, which massively empowers and expands a centralized government, particularly in a constitutional system. It's very, you know, it's impossible to have a constitutional system if we do everything these radical environmentalists want us to do. And so
Yes. The
it's really an effort to attack capitalism, to attack constitutionalism, to attack the limits on government. And the left has figured that out, but Mitt Romney has not.
And it's not just Mitt Romney. Obviously, John McCain. You know, I don't know if that a President Dole. All the previous Republicans had problems. George W. Bush, stayed strong and not signing on to a UN agreement. But he completely accepted the science. He gave all the rhetoric. He's completely supported the domestic agenda through funding. Republicans just have an issue standing up on environmental issues. They've been intimidated and bullied into just being co-opted and going along with this issue. Even people like Newt Gingrich in the past have had dalliances with the global warming agenda. So it's been very frustrating to see that. And that's one of the reasons this has been so successful. There's been no real opposition. I mean, you have a UN Paris Agreement that literally, if you accepted the UN science and accepted all the countries were going to do what they claimed, even the UN admits would not even affect temperatures 100 years from now by any detectable measure. That's assuming they're right, which they're not, and assuming every country.
In other words, it would drastically affect our form of government and economic system.
Yes, it affects sovereignty. It affects economic system. And as bad as all that is, 1.2 billion people in the developed world don't have running water and electricity. I interview a South African development activist named Leon Lowe, and he says the UN Climate Fund is literally designed to pay off the third world leaders who are best able to keep their people locked in poverty as part of this degrowth. In other words, if you're poor, if you have high infant mortality, high death rate, then you're going to get a lot of UN money because you're doing it right. You're living earth-friendly. If you're polluting your river with sewer, if you're burning dung and wood and living a subsistence lifestyle, congratulations, you get the UN funding. Actually, you don't get the money. Your government does.
Let me just say this before we run out of time.
Sure.
I can't possibly in a segment give this book the attention it deserves or give you the attention you deserve. You're like a one-man general, excuse me, fighting this effort, and you have a complete comprehension of it. I want to strongly encourage my audience. The Politically Incorrect Guide to Climate Change is digestible. It's in plain English. It arms you with an enormous amount of information you may not even contemplated before. It's crucially important because we need to push back on this front. And so I hope you and this book are very, very successful. We will link to it on Amazon, on Mark Levin Show Facebook, Mark Levin Show Twitter. It's the Politically Incorrect Guide to Climate Change. Mark, you really are a patriot out there, and I want to thank you for everything you do.
Thank you so much, Mark. I appreciate the opportunity.
All right, good luck, and God bless. Man, I could have had another 30 minutes with him, don't you think, Rich? Very, very important.